You'd almost think that Adam was in my notes. Just even when he was leading in congregational singing, that second song that we sang, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder," I had that open in my study. I wrote out that first verse, and it was pressing on my mind this morning. And then this song was just sung. The great sovereign God, He's already there. He knows. And thank the Lord that He is working. If we allow Him, He is working. It's just like the coloring crayon. It could be broken, and quite often it is broken, but it depends on who's holding it as to whether or not it's coloring in the lines. It has the same beautiful color, but if it's not held by the right hand, then it's just a mess. But if it's in the hand of God, He colors. He paints a beautiful picture. He weaves a beautiful tapestry. He makes a beautiful vessel. Jeremiah chapter 18 this morning. If any of you are interested in following along with the camp meeting in North Caicos, Lighthouse Churches, I think is what it's under on Facebook. But if you're interested, I can send you that link at a later time. Jeremiah chapter 18, the classroom of the potter, is what I want to look at this morning. Would you bow your head with me for prayer? Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the still small voice that we can hear in song as well as in word. Pray that you would open up your word to us this morning. I pray that you would speak to us collectively, but more importantly, I suppose, that you would speak to us individually. That you would shine your light upon us individually this morning. Help us to see us individually, and see how you see us individually. Mold us and make us after your will and plan. In Jesus' name, give us that anointing that I need this morning in preaching your word. Give me strength in my weakness. Give me clarity of mind and help this morning, I pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse number 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Always like that when I read in the prophets that the word of God came to the prophet. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Verse number 2, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at the wheel. And the vessel that he was making from clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it over, reworking it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I change these words? Or can maybe you could change these words and put your name in here. Instead of, O house of Israel, put your name. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. In the gentle quiet of the prophet's world, God is calling, and God called Jeremiah to an unusual classroom. It was the classroom of the potter's house, the classroom of the potter. There, in the potter's house, or in his shop, there among the scent of the wet earth and the rhythmic turning of the wheel, Jeremiah discovers truths that have rippled across centuries from that time until now, truths that still press upon our hearts and should press hard on our hearts even today. The scripture here of Jeremiah chapter 18, 1 through 6, tells us that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, arise and go to the classroom of this potter's house. There you will hear my words. Now we understand as we look at this picture and we look at this story that the potter's wheel is essentially God's sovereignty and in his sovereignty, his creative power. If we can use a little bit of imagination today and go back into that day and into that time, you might be able to imagine Jeremiah's sandaled feet pressing into the dust as he made his way into that potter's shop, or as it says, into his house, where the craftsman was at the wheel working. The potter's hands, I can't imagine. I can try to figure out some things, but I know so little about it by personal experience. I have to read other people, but I have to gather within my understanding. The potter's hands were probably firm, strong, and yet they had to be gentle. Working that originally pile of clay, that blob of clay, making it as it turned on the wheel, guiding the yielding clay in his hands as it would spin on that wheel. One writer said that if the vessel falters, not I don't really understand how clay falters in that sense, but the scripture bears out that there was a marring that had taken place. There was something that had happened in that clay in the gentle yet firm hands of the potter, and it faltered, somebody wrote. Was there something in that clay that caused a little bit of a disruption and the potter had to take it and work it just a little bit more? He had to press a little bit harder against that particular faltering of the clay or the marring of the clay. There was something in his strong, firm, yet gentle hands that had to press against that marring. So that he could reform it. Now, if you're like me, we would tend to, if you're like me, and I hope that you're not exactly like me, especially in this particular instance, when things don't go the way that I'd like for them to go, when things don't happen as easily as I'd like for them to happen, there tends to be a measure of frustration against that which is struggling to come into fruition or into sight, what I want, what I long for, what I'm trying to accomplish. But we don't find any frustration in this passage. We don't see anything of frustration in the potter. He simply, without frustration, begins to reform it with patience and with something in his eye of a vision of what it will turn out like? Not just random working, but he has a plan to bring it to fruition, a plan to bring it to pass. He has something in his mind of this clay that he's going to form into something of great value or use. You see, in this potter's house, we see in the classroom of the potter, the potter's house is not a place of discarding. Now, I don't know exactly how that works in a potter's shop and what all takes place, but the indication here of what Jeremiah was supposed to see by the hand of God or the picture of God's sovereignty was that he was not supposed to see a pile of discarded clay if there was such a thing, because God wanted him to see that there was no discarding of the clay, but a reforming or a reshaping of what the potter had in his hands. That's the way it is with God's sovereignty. The Lord declares, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel, or your name. Now, God's authority is not harsh. His authority is not harsh, but his authority is purposeful. The wheel of life spins. We each one have our seasons of life that we go through. Some of you are beyond the season of life that I'm in. Some of you are short of that season of life that my wife and I are in. This season that we're in is different, and it's still a little bit odd in this season of life where when we walk through the door any time of being away, that it's quiet. There's no kids running around. There's very little chaos unless we're in there together. Seasons of life, the wheel is turning. And we need to be at that same clay in the potter's hand, not being harsh, but allowing his hand to be purposeful in our life as the wheel of life spins, so that he, in his wisdom, which surpasses our understanding, can form us and to make us what we ought to be. Now let's take a look here just for a moment of the clay. The clay itself that we find in this passage would be considered ordinary clay. I don't know what ordinary clay is. All clay is ordinary to me. But I think it must be something specific that is looked at in the passage of the potter's wheel and the clay that is being made, that this clay was just ordinary. It was just ordinary clay. There wasn't anything grand or special or something that was set aside and said, for a rainy day, I'm going to save this. This is some extra special. Now, my kids are extra special. They're better than your kids. They're more special than your kids. And it's okay for you to feel the same way about your kids. They're extra special. God has something extra special for them. But in the end of it all, or should I say at the beginning of it all, we're all just ordinary clay. The only thing that differs in us is as God molds and makes us into the vessel, He gives us talents or He gives us means or he works in us what He wants us to be at the end. And that's all part of what is spinning on the wheel, even right now as God is working in your life or in my life, making us into what He wants. Common clay. Now, if it's left unformed, it's really not much more than dust and water. Did you hear that? We're made out of dust. And yet, in the hands of the skilled potter, that same ordinary clay takes shape, it gains purpose, it becomes both beautiful and useful. God takes the ordinary lump of clay, is what He's picturing here for Jeremiah to get a hold of for the people of Israel, but it's carried down through, echoed down through the centuries of time for us to grasp it as well, that God wants to take our ordinary lump of clay and mold it into something beautiful and useful. Now, the clay does not choose for itself its shape. The clay itself does not protest against the pressure. It yields and trusting itself to the hands that are molding it. If only it were that easy. To be like that lump of clay and not have anything within us to say, no, I don't like the pressure over here. I don't like the pressure over here. And I don't want you pushing against me here. That is pushing me in a direction or in a shape that I really don't want to be. It's very possible this morning that I'm talking to somebody that has experienced something like that. Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. I've shared with you before that I had one big opposition to being a preacher, and it was that one thing that I had to work on in my own life to say, God, okay, I give it to you, I surrender it to you, I will do what it is that you have called me to do, in spite of that one thing that pressed in my mind. I didn't have the choice. I shouldn't have the choice. I am to be useful, yielded to His pressure. A lot of times we as humanity want to work out and direct our own destinies. We want to get to our own end goal and our own desires rather than allowing Him to shape us. We sometimes resist the pressure that He's wanting to put on us. Jeremiah's vision calls us to humility, to where we are open to the touch of God's hand, even when it differs from our own plans. Then we see the marring or the remaking. That is really a foreshadowing of redemption's promise. The Old Testament giving a foreshadowing of a redemption that is yet to come. Jeremiah observed that when the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter, the craftsman did not abandon the clay. Instead, he formed it into another vessel as it seemed good unto the potter to make. In that statement, there is some profound hope for every one of us here. Because the likelihood is, as humanity goes on and life continues to roll on, the longer we resist His hand, the more likely it is that when we come to the end of ourselves, we come to the end of ourselves as a broken crayon. And say, oh, nobody wants me now. The kids don't even want the coloring crayon that they broke. They'd rather have another one. They want a whole one. They want to use that one that looks better than what the broken ones do. And we have it in our mind that now that I'm broken, I cannot be used or I cannot be fixed. I'm too far gone. But Jeremiah observes that this brokenness in the hand of the potter was not something for the potter to throw away, but for the potter to begin to reshape and to make, and to put pressure on the needed area to make it into the vessel that he had in his mind to make it. The devil wants you and me to think that our failures and fractures disqualify us from God's purposes. That if we are marred by sin or we are marred by sorrow or regret, that the potter does not cast us aside in that case. He remakes us patiently, reworking, redeeming our brokenness, weaving it into a new and even more beautiful design. You see, the gospel story in small print is that in Christ, redemption is always possible. Redemption is always possible. No mistake is final. No heart is too hardened for the potter's touch. He can form it. The wheel never stops spinning. Each season of our lives, God is shaping us. Sometimes with gentle caresses, sometimes with firm pressure. And if you look at it closely enough, if you look at it from your own lens of your particular life, you might see that as the wheel is turning and his hands are working in your life, that there's times that he stretches you. Sometimes he presses you thin in the wherewithal of your existence and the pressures of your life. He wears you down thin. Maybe sometimes he works in your life to such a way that you feel absolutely out of control because of the uncertainties that lay ahead of you. And yet it's in these moments that the potter's hands are the closest. Hear me. Picture it if you can. That it's in these moments that the potter's hands are the closest to you, refining your character and refining your faith. It's strange what we can see in the classroom of the potter. One thing that I believe that we can see in the classroom of the potter this morning is that the clay cannot see the finished vessel. Did you hear that? But it is being prepared for a purpose known only to the Maker. If I could just draw from personal experience, because that's the ones that I know the most about, had I known back in November, December of 1994, what all I would face in the next 12 years in Evansville, I would have been less likely to move from Sheridan, Indiana to Evansville, Indiana. What am I saying? I'm saying that even while we can't see the end result, and I still don't know the end result because he's shaping, he's still forming, he's still working, he's still pressing and doing things in our lives, in my life, and he's still shaping me into what he has pictured, not what I have pictured. The clay cannot see the finished vessel, but it is being prepared for a purpose known only to the maker. The big question is, will we trust him in waiting? Will we allow him to mold us through every high and low, every joy and every trial? Now, Jeremiah's vision is more than a portrait of God's sovereignty. It's an invitation. The invitation is there for you and for me. We are called to be vessels for noble use. We carry a great hope. We carry love. We carry truth into a world that is desperately in need of those things. Each of us uniquely shaped, each of us with our individual strength, each of us with our scars, as part of God's design and plan, molding us and making us. The question is not what we have been, but what God is making of us now. So the application of the classroom of the potter is that we yield our ambitions, we yield our fears, our disappointments, we even yield our dreams into his hands and trust the potter's hand in the shaping, no matter how marred we may think it is, no matter how unfinished it may seem to be, that we are a work in progress destined by God's purpose to be beautiful and a blessing. We walked with Jeremiah and his sandaled feet in the dusty path going to the potter's house. As we leave the potter's house with Jeremiah, may we always remember that God is not done with us. He's not done with you. He's not done with me. His wheel keeps turning. His hands keep shaping. Our part is to remain pliable. Our part is to be open and hopeful and trusting the one who sees the vessel long before it takes shape. And when you feel pressure, do not despair. When it feels like prayer is not going any higher than the brass ceiling that is above you, understand that it's in the pressure times that God is forming and working and touching those areas of our lives that need our yieldedness. We can rest secure in his hands, formed, reformed, and ever loved. Trusting the potter who knows the clay. Would you stand with me this morning? I would like to think that God is speaking to somebody here this morning. While I didn't plan on opening the altar is always open, but I didn't plan on spending some time this morning, but perhaps somebody needs to pray. Somebody who's struggling against the potter's hands. And you need to come and yield yourself afresh and anew. to his shaping and reshaping. No matter how broken, no matter how scarred, no matter what your thoughts are reasoning it out against it today, know that he has a better plan. God has a greater design and can redeem everything that is brought to him and yielded to him. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Trust the Lord bless you with a good Lord's Day this afternoon. Look to see you tonight. Amen. Praise God. Eden, would you dismiss us in prayer?